Pastor Joel, and excuse me while I, yes, what a treat to be back here at CC. Would you just fist bump your neighbor and say, I love my church? Come on, everybody do, just fist bump, say, I love my church. Christian celebration is one of the most dynamic churches in all of the world. And certainly in all the fellowship. What you do for missions is a God thing. Is a God thing. And the favor of the Lord is on this congregation. So whenever the opportunity to come here, I come just to get my fix. Because I think everybody needs a hit of Christian Celebration Church just annually. Just come and get a hit of this place and you'll be hooked. And so it is a privileged opportunity to be back with you. And I'm excited about what God has prepared. In fact, it's just going to blow you away from the word of the Lord to the music to what I feel my message is for tonight. I just think, Lord, thank you for loving this church enough just to script something out that would not be institutional but be very transformational. And so I want something transformational. I'm honored tonight to be accompanied by a couple people, first of all, and I'll share more in terms of a testimony, and we have an incredible surprise on a Sunday night for you. But my mom, who is 83 years old, who has been a widow since she's 40, been involved in active ministry all her life since 20 years of age. She was the minister of music for 30-some years in Adrian, Michigan, then pastor emeritus, then still on staff at the church and very much involved. Her and my dad basically started the church there in Adrian. The church is just going gangbusters, doing very, very well. She is a dear friend. She is my mom, and she is just one of my greatest cheerleaders. And Mom, would you stand? And I'd love for you to welcome my mom, my 83-year young mom, here to Christian Celebration. Look at that. You bet. You bet. Woo-hoo. We're going to share, Sunday morning I'll share a little bit of my testimony. You know, my dad died when I was 9 years old, and so I was raised by a single mom. And quite frankly, I think I was blessed to be able to be raised by a single. I believe there's a dispensation of God's grace given to single moms. But I also know you need the church. You need the church. And so I'm going to share that story. And then Sunday night, my mom has this lifelong journey of just what God's done in her life and overcoming a lot of just successful setbacks that have happened either through deaths or various things. And so she will be on the piano. I will be in a chair. I will be interviewing her, and we're going to do a thing called Songs for the Seasons of Life. And she has songs that got her through a various season in her life. We're going to sing that together. But you know what? Those songs aren't just for an elder generation. She knows the songs of this generation. And so Sunday night, I promise you, there will be a lift. You're just going to go out of here and going, you know what? I got confidence in God. I just got confidence in God. So you come. I'm accompanied by a real God-sent gift to me. 6 years ago, we transitioned from Ohio to Springfield, and again, in more of an administrative role and an administrative position, and ran across to a gentleman who was the broker for our insurance benefits for the Assemblies of God, all of the General Council, 800-plus employees, and our affiliates, all of the schools, and Maranatha, and just hit it off. A dear, dear Christian brother whose roots go very deep in the Lord, and we connected, and so part of our journey in friendship is just to do ministry together. He had a privilege to go to Israel, and much like many of you have gone to Israel, he and his wife went to Israel. So as we were calendar planning, I said, hey, when I knew I was having this knee surgery, I go, you got to come to this really great church, so would you be willing to drive? Absolutely, he said. So he drove. So Dan, my chauffeur man, is here. And so Dan, thanks for being here, and glad to have you as a part of it. So now to the word of the Lord. Mark chapter 8, please. I want to bring a message tonight entitled The Second Touch. And I'll tell you where we're going. I'm going to preach for a little while, but at the end, we're going to have an altar call. And I'm going to believe that in the altar call, following the admonition of this scripture, that some of you are going to have a second touch experience, much like the man in Mark chapter 8. Have you discovered, like me, that there are times in life when you don't always see things clearly? You just don't get it. We become, shall I say, short-sighted, maybe 20. We don't have 20-20 perspective. And here's what I've discovered. When I'm not always understanding what's going on and when I don't always see things clearly, if I'm not careful, I begin to doubt and lose hope. So here's what I feel the word of the Lord is for us, not just tonight, but throughout the weekend. Starve your doubt and feed your hope. Starve your doubt and feed your hope. You say, oh, Pastor Doug, is that just some nice little motivational quote from Zig Ziglar? Well, no, not actually, because where do I need to point this to advance? Let's look at this verse in Joshua chapter 1. Joshua says, banish your fears and doubt, for remember the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God says, banish your, in fact, say that with me, banish your fears and doubt. Man, that feels good just to say that. Banish your fear and doubt. I work with a lot of pastors, and I will tell you, doubt has killed more dreams than failures have. And I've seen it in pastoring, where doubt has killed dreams more than failures. So I'm afraid what happens at times, we start to believe our doubts and doubt our beliefs. But God says, banish your fear and doubt, for remember, the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That is a cool verse. So when we come to Mark chapter 8, it's the healing of a blind man. But this healing is uniquely positioned between Jesus' rebuke to his disciples for their lack of understanding kingdom principles, and then his direct question to the disciples, well, who do you say that I am? So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Mark chapter 8, and I want to read verses 22 through 30 together. Mark chapter 8, verses 22 to 30. Bible says they came to Bethsaida, and some of the people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand, led him outside the village, and when he spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, do you see anything? Now watch this. He looked up and said, well, I see people. They look like trees walking around. And once more, or some translations say, after a second touch, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes, and the man's eyes were open, and his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. And Jesus sent him home, saying, now don't even go back into the village. And Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked them, who do people say that I am? And they replied, well, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others say one of the prophets. But what about you? He asked, who do you say I am? And Peter said, well, you're the Messiah. And Jesus, watch this, warned them not to tell anyone about that. I got to tell you, there's a lot of uniquenesses to the miracle. Like, why did Jesus lead them out of the village in order to heal them? Why didn't he do it right in the center of the village so that the glory of the Lord could be on display? I don't know. And what's up with this method of using spit to bring about a healing? You won't see that at this church. They're not going to spit on your eyes or spit on your back or spit. At least I hope they don't, unless the Lord tells them. But so there's a lot of uniquenesses. Why would Jesus tell them not to go back to the village after the healing's been taking place? So you could dissect this. But the thing that I find very interesting that I want to focus on is found in verse 25, once more, or after a second touch. So can I ask this question tonight? What happens as a result of Jesus touching us a second time? What happens when we get a second touch from the Lord? Well, I think the first thing that happens is there's a perspective alignment. There's a perspective alignment. Did you catch that in verse 24? He looked up and said, I see people. They look like trees walking around. So the first time that Jesus touched the man, and he said, I see trees, they look like they're walking around. But after the second touch, he saw everything much clearer. How many of you know, even if you've served the Lord as long as my mom have, or maybe you're a brand new Christian in this journey, sometimes in life we need a perspective adjustment. We need to move from a perspective that says, I'm not really sure, to one that says, you know what, I believe that God can. We need to move from a perspective that says, I doubt, does God really want to get to one that says, you know what, I believe God can. I find it interesting, church, just before this miracle, the disciples had witnessed the feeding of the 4,000. Now, this was the second big feeding that the disciples had seen. Earlier in Mark chapter 6, there was the feeding of the 5,000. You remember that cool miracle? 5,000 men, so there was probably 10 to 12,000 people counting the women and children. But the Bible says 5,000 men, and all they had were 5 loaves and 2 fish. And I would submit to you that both of those miracles, the feeding of the 5,000 and the feeding of the 4,000, show a whole lot more than just how Jesus feeds big crowds. But it kind of shows us how Jesus spiritually takes care of people. Can you imagine in that feeding of the 5,000 when Jesus calls his team, his board, his staff to come together, 12, and he says, okay, guys, we got to feed these people. What do we have? Well, we got 5 loaves, 2 fish. He goes, okay. And he starts breaking it up and putting it in their baskets. Now, their backs are to the people. And can you imagine if you were one of the 12 looking down and you have a few crumbs there and a few gills of fish and thinking, Lord, if you're going to do a miracle, it would be a great time to do it before we turn around. We've got some friends out there, Lord. We've got face to save. So go ahead and just fill our baskets. We turn around and everybody will give you the praise and the glory, and that's great. And he doesn't do that. He just breaks 5 loaves and 2 fish among 12 disciples. And I think to myself, you know, it's interesting. And I can sort of think Jesus looking with this cheese grin at his disciples going, you know, you guys always want to start out with your baskets full and have them end up empty. But in the kingdom, I like you to start out with your baskets empty and have them end up full. And some of you tonight, you need a second touch. You need to overcome a mindset of doubt. You need to overcome a mindset of hopelessness. You need to overcome this mindset that says God blesses everybody else than you. And you need to allow the Lord to touch you, to see things more clearly, and move into a realm that says, I believe that God can. Because I believe miracles come in a can. After all, God said that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, Philippians. But I would submit to you, God can keep his word, Psalm 89:34. I will not take back a single word I have said to you. God can carry out his plans, Jeremiah 1:12. For I am watching your life to see that my word is fulfilled in you. God can forgive and forget your sins, Isaiah 43. I am he who blots out your transgressions, and for my sake I remember your sins no more. How many of you are grateful? God can keep his word. Miracles come in a can. God can handle your situation. Ah, sovereign Lord, Jeremiah 32:17 says, nothing is too hard for you. God can heal your sickness. Psalm 107:20, he sent forth his word and healed their diseases. God can give you strength. Isaiah 41:10, I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. How many of you are thankful that miracles come in a can? And sometimes we just need the Lord to touch us a second time because we don't quite see things clearly. It looks like trees walking around, but after the second touch, he saw what it was. In a few moments tonight, when we give an altar call in some very specific areas, if you need a perspective adjustment, maybe you're wrestling with doubt. You know, in the Christian walk these days, there's a lot of doubt. There's intellectual doubt. Seems like the movie industry, about every 6 to 9 months, puts some movie out there that challenges, is Jesus really the Son of God? Well, was that really how it happened with Noah? And we get all this intellectual doubt because of the media industry. There's spiritual doubt, even inside the church. You struggle with things. You struggle with, Lord, I've been praying and I haven't seen this happen, but these people prayed and you've seemed to answer. Or maybe you struggle with what I struggled with this week. When my youngest daughter came to me and said, Dad, why would God allow two pregnancy tests to come back positive? But I'm spotting and I'm bleeding and the doctor tells me I'm going through a miscarriage. I'm telling you, sometimes in this journey of faith, there's doubt. There's intellectual doubt. There's spiritual doubt. There's circumstantial doubt. God, why is this happening to me? And I'm telling you, if you're here tonight and you're struggling with doubt, the word of the Lord for you is starve your doubt and feed your hope. And you need a second touch just to get a perspective alignment that says, you know what? We serve a great and a mighty God. There's a second thing from this miracle that stands out to me, and it's the obvious. There was a physical healing. Once more, verse 25 says, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes, or a second time. I think this is kind of cool because this miracle speaks to me of progressive healing. You know, I'm often asked, Pastor Clay, do you really believe in divine healing? I mean, my answer is the same. I believe in healing because I believe in Jesus. Let me say that again and see if I can get a better response. I believe in healing because I believe in Jesus. You know, healing is an integral part of the gospel. It was provided in the atonement. In other words, the same work that Jesus did on the cross to forgive you of your sins is the same work on the cross that gives you and I the confidence to come to him and say, Lord, I need a touch. Isaiah says he was wounded for our transgressions. Psalm 107 says he sent forth his word and healed our disease. But watch this, church. I'm convinced at times when it comes to having faith for healing, we oftentimes have greater faith for other people than we have for ourselves. And sometimes I just wonder if spiritual pride and coming one more time to ask the Lord to touch us keeps us from getting a miracle. And in a few moments tonight, don't you dare let pride keep you from being prayed for one more time for a physical situation. I experienced that in my own life. We were pastoring in Toledo, Ohio. My wife, Gail, who's a registered nurse, we were pastoring in Toledo, Ohio, and it was a wonderful joy for us to just shepherd a congregation much like this, loving people, very missionally minded and missionally giving, and I was in a real love relationship with the church there in Toledo Calvary. 4 years into our ministry there, my wife got really sick. I mean, just weird symptoms. Would pass out right away, kind of numb on the left side of her face, and as a nurse, she's kind of trying to figure out what's going on, and we went to a cardiologist, we went to a neurologist, we went to all these different things, and couldn't get there, and this sickness really just leveled her. I mean, she had barely enough strength to get up in the morning and care for herself. We had two girls that we were homeschooling. I should say she was homeschooling at the time, and it was an energy draining thing, and this went for weeks. This turned into months and turned into several months. And I don't know about you, but if you've ever been sick for a prolonged period of time, or if you've ever cared for somebody who's been sick for a prolonged period of time, how many of you know you can get sick and tired of being sick and tired? And that's where we were at. And I remember one morning, we were about in the ninth month, and I came down and I said, Babe, do you want to get aggressive spiritually or medically? She said, Both. And I said, Okay. And I called Grammy Clay, and Mom came down and just anointed every doorpost in our house and prayed and anointed Gail. And meanwhile, at the church, things were going pretty cool. I had inherited or went to a church that was a hurting church, had gone through a split, and yet God allowed some real healing to take place. So we're 4 years into this. The order of our service every Sunday morning was partway during worship, I'd call for the elders of the church, and we'd have an anointing time. And just before the anointing time, I'd always pull a card out that somebody had written in about how God had blessed them, or God had touched them, or I was prayed for and God had provided. It was just sort of a faith building, because, you know, we overcome the enemy by the word of our testimony. So I cast this testimony, and so I see this going on, and yet my wife, 9 months, I can't lay my hands on her, see her heal. I'm going, what's up with that, God? Yet week after week, God's touching people at our altars. So we decided to get aggressive spiritually. I went to our board, and I got to believe, much like the board of this church, I said, guys, some of you know Gail's situation, and boy, we want to get aggressive spiritually and medically. So I'd love for some of you to just kind of mobilize some teams and come and pray. And, oh, Pastor, we never thought you'd ask. Absolutely. Now, the sad thing was, it'd take me 9 months to actually ask for that to happen. Following week, they had 40 units, 40 couples on a Monday through Friday that came to our house, 9 o'clock in the morning. Dan and Lisa Vanderbilt came, knocked on the door, and anointed Gail with oil, prayed the prayer of faith. 10 o'clock, Jim and Linda Keller. 11 o'clock, Jim and Cheryl Odie. I mean, next day, same thing. Greg and Pam Shapiro and Don and Phyllis Svenby. And every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Wednesday, I noticed Gail having a little bit more strength in her body. In fact, Wednesday, she stayed up. And Wednesday night, we had one of our favorite family staples, macaroni, cheese, hot dogs, and cool Dorito Ranch potato chips. I mean, things were really looking up in the Clay home. Thursday came, Friday came, these couples came to our door. And Friday at 5 o'clock, Bill and Janet Richmond, both educators in the Toledo Public School System, came, anointed Gail with oil, prayed the prayer of faith. And from that Friday night at 5 o'clock till this day on January 16th, 2015, my wife has not had one reoccurring symptom of something that wiped her out for 9 months. To God be the glory. Now, please hear my heart on this. God would still be God if we were struggling with that physical condition. But here's what I think the lesson was learned. God needed me to let go of my spiritual pride and to not be afraid to say, hey, would you guys mind praying with us one more time? You see, think about it. I'm grateful that the blind man didn't let his pride to keep him from letting Jesus touch him a second time. Think about it. How would you like to be known as the person that Jesus touched and didn't get the healing? They're not going to think something's wrong with Jesus. They're going to think something's wrong with you. What sin's in your life? Well, you know, who are you married to? What's going on in your world? But thankfully, pride did not keep the blind man from letting Jesus touch him a second time. And so in a couple minutes here tonight, when we give an altar call for some of you to be prayed for, you say, well, Pastor Glad, I've been prayed for 150 times. You know what? Get prayed for 151 times. Because you know what? Lift it to the Lord. Because I don't understand always his timing, and I don't always understand his ways, but I do know he is my healer. And the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous person availeth much. And this scripture tells me it's okay to be prayed for a couple times. Don't you dare let pride keep you from maybe receiving a miracle. So the man developed a perspective adjustment. He went from seeing trees to seeing things clearly. The man experienced a physical healing. And the third thing this man experienced, watch this, was what I call a purpose check. Now you got to go back to Mark chapter 8 in your scriptures to see this. But in Mark chapter 8, there's this little purpose check, sort of a reality of God's purposes in your life. You see, right after the miracle, Peter makes this confession. He answers the question when Jesus says, who do you say? And he goes, hey, you're the Messiah, you're the Christ, you're the Son of the living God. And then Jesus, following that in verse 31, makes this prediction. That's right, and the Son of Man is going to have to suffer many things at the hands of people. Well, you see this protective nature in Peter rising up in verse 32, and he says, not on our watch. We got your back, Jesus, and nobody's going to suffer you anything at your hand. And what does Jesus do to Peter in verse 33? He says, get thee behind me, Satan. Wow. Can you imagine? It's one thing to kind of rebuke somebody, but to actually kind of call him Satan? Get thee behind me, Satan? Now, don't miss the teaching point here. Peter understood Jesus' identity, but didn't fully understand his ministry. He knew he was the Son of God, he just didn't fully know what he came to do. You say, Pastor Clay, how does that translate to where I'm at? Well, church, sometimes it's one thing to know the person of Jesus. It's another thing to know the purpose of Jesus for your life. And what is his purpose in you for your life? You see, you weren't saved just to escape hell. You were saved to then use the gifts that God has given you to get involved in ministry. To use your gifts to see other people through the work of the local church to come to faith in Jesus Christ. And it's quite possible the Lord needs to touch you a second time to bring a purpose check. Oftentimes in the body of Christ, some of the most frustrated people who are spiritually frustrated are those who are not involved in ministry. They're setting on their gifts. They're setting on their talent. All the while, God has gifted you with a gift of welcoming people. You would be a great greeter. You would be a great hospitality coordinator. You'd be a great children's worker. You would be a great youth sponsor. But you're not engaged and you're frustrated. And I believe some of you need to start saying, Lord, what's your purpose? I know who you are, but what's your purpose for me in this life? And so what happens, you think about that, but you don't act on that. You act on your doubt. Well, I couldn't work with kids. I don't have a very good voice. I couldn't sing in the choir. I'm not sure. And so you disengage and don't get involved and become spiritually frustrated. Can I tell you, if God's been speaking to your heart about getting involved this year in this church, act on it. Act on it. Don't put it aside for another year. Will you have some doubts? Absolutely. Think about all the great people of the Bible that I'm sure had doubts. I gotta believe Noah, when he was building the boat, had a little bit of doubt. But aren't you thankful that he fed his hope and didn't act on his doubt? I got to think Abraham, who after 25 years of waiting for a promise from God to have a baby, who's now told, take that baby up to Chaldea and offer that baby as a sacrifice. I got to believe he was doubting on the way up there, but he didn't act on his doubt. He acted on his faith and his hope. How about Moses? I got to think Moses, when he's trekking through the Red Sea and he sees these water walls on both sides, I got to believe somewhere along the line he had some doubt, but he didn't act on his doubt and that caused him to set back. He kept walking ahead in faith, whether it was David facing Goliath, Nehemiah rebuilding the wall, maybe it was Daniel in the lion's den, or how about Jesus on the cross? Father, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Great people of God have done great things for God because they didn't act on their doubt. They took a deep breath. They decided to act in faith and say, Lord, I believe you have a purpose for my life and I'm going to step out in faith. And I'm just telling you, some of you, I sense it in my heart, have been feeling like God's been calling you to a deeper level of involvement in ministry. Don't you dare talk yourself out of that. Let this spiritual emphasis week sort of just feed your hope and feed your confidence. Say, okay, I'm going to give it a shot. Okay, I know Pastor Kelly has been after me, and I've been putting, I'm finally going to say, sure, I'll be interested in looking up children's ministry. Because you see, I don't say that just because this church is on some recruiting binge to get people involved. I say it for your benefit. Because it's one thing to know Jesus is your Savior. It's another thing to know him that he's the one who created you to do good deeds that he's prepared in advance for you to do. And the sweet spot of living and following Jesus is doing those good deeds that he's prepared in advance for you to do. So some of you need a second touch tonight to give you that confidence to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to yield to the discovery of what your purpose is for my life. There's a perspective alignment, there is a physical healing, and there was a purpose check. Now, I would submit tonight that the process of starving your doubt and feeding your faith starts with and is sustained by the person of the Holy Spirit. And for some of you tonight, God just wants to refill you with the Holy Spirit. He wants to rebaptize you in the Holy Spirit. He wants to give you the courage to keep going. You know, prior to the day of Pentecost, the disciples were locked in an upper room. They were held hostage in their fear. In fact, there were no miracles in Acts chapter 1. But after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, there's this whole series of miracles. You got the birth of the church. You got the healing of the crippled beggar in Acts chapter 3. You got Acts chapter 4. Peter and John had courage to stand before the Sanhedrin in Acts chapter 5. Peter's shadow healed some people. In Acts chapter 8, there was a revival in Samaria. In Acts chapter 9, Saul gets converted. I'm telling you, there's something very legit about the infilling of the Holy Spirit. It gives you a courage to overcome the doubt that the enemy tries to bring your way. And so tonight, some of you just need to offer yourself to the Lord and say, God, I'm a candidate tonight to be refilled with your Spirit. I'm going to ask Leon and the team if they would come. And tonight, friends, because part of the cool thing about spiritual emphasis is, although we're always sensitive to be good stewards of your time, we choose not to be bound by the clock when it comes to putting ourselves in a position. You experienced that earlier tonight. There was a word of the Lord, and there was an opportunity to respond. That's what these times are all about, just to sort of, refresh our spirits. And so tonight's altar call is all about what I believe God wanting to do in helping you starve your doubt and to sort of feed your hope. So we're going to have a second touch altar call. And in a minute, I'm going to invite my friends and your pastoral team to come. And the first, and I'm going to ask maybe Pastor Keith, if you and Lacey and would come and stand over here to the left. Maybe Lynn, you as well. If tonight you need a perspective alignment, if tonight you're living with doubt, doubt has replaced hope, then this verse is for you, Romans 5:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him so that you may overflow with hope. If tonight you would say, Pastor Clay, I'm a child of God, but you read my mail. I've been doubting a little bit. I've been holding back. I've not really been engaged to get involved. And you need the Lord to touch you a second time to give you what I call a perspective adjustment. Maybe you've allowed a critical spirit to get in here. You know, when you're not involved in ministry and you sit back, you develop a critical spirit. The music's too long, that song's too mad. Instead of just enjoying and basking the presence of the Lord, you know, maybe you need a perspective adjustment to say, God, forgive me for having this consumer mindset when I come to church. Let me come back to that first love and just love on you. You need a perspective alignment. Then Lynn and Richard and Keith and Lace, they're going to be here, and they're going to just pray with you. And they're going to pray with you about a perspective alignment. Maybe you're here tonight and you need a physical healing. I'm going to ask Mom and Pastor Joel and Donna to kind of be here in the front. And you're here and you say, Pastor Clay, I'm all in. I love God. I love him in my heart, soul, mind. I'm engaged. I've gone to Israel. I'm in mission. I've been baptized in the Jordan River. I'm all in. But man, I'm suffering with a physical condition. And maybe even the thought of being prayed for gets you a little discouraged. I don't want to go up there again because I don't know if anything's going to. Don't you dare let the enemy rob you of that kind of faith that says he is our healer. So I don't know, I don't get it. I don't understand the timing, the ways, Lord, but I just know this. He's our healer. I don't know why it was 9 months in Gales. I don't know, but I know he healed because he is the God that healeth our diseases. And so we start this altar call. If you need a second touch for a physical need, then I want you to let Grammy or Donna or Joel to just anoint you. So Pat and Christine and maybe Kelly and Tracy, I'm going to have you on my right, your left. And if you're here tonight, this is a biggie, and you need a purpose checkup. You don't want to just go through the motion. You don't want to just be saved. You want to find that sweet spot of what's my purpose? You don't want to just make a living. You want to make a life. You want to discover, what are those good deeds that God's prepared in advance for me to do? And quite frankly, there's probably a place in this church for you to be able to fulfill that. But you've been scared, Or maybe you've come from another church in the background, you got burned, people over you, you know, and so, oh, you've just kind of kept this getting engaged at arm's length. I'm telling you, you need a second touch. And let the Lord not just show you who he is, his identity, let him show you what his purpose is for your life. And can I tell you, that is the sweet spot of living. Life's got a lot of ups and downs. And I prefer that little comment about my daughter not even being on that, because it's private. It's between our family. I didn't even share it with my mom. When Kaylee came into the garage with her two pregnancy tests, it was so high. We were so high. Yeah, yeah, yeah. 2 days later when she's spotting and probably going through. Dad, why? Why would God let me have two positive? You know what? At that point, I don't care if you're an executive of the assembly. I don't have a lot of questions. I don't have a lot of answers. I just threw my arms around her. I said, I don't know, baby, but God's got it. God's got it. God's got it. So I get it. I get it what it's like to go through life with a lot of ups and downs, the highs and lows. We're pregnant. No, we're not. But can I tell you the sweet spot of living is knowing that you're doing the will of the Lord. You're doing the will of the Lord. And you can handle some of those, whoa, where'd this come from? When you know you're giving yourself to the purpose for which God saved you. And I just tell you, I don't know why I feel so strong, but some of you, this year, God has something for you. Don't let another year go by just saying, that church is too big. They don't need my help. Or that church. No. It's not about the church's benefit. It's for your benefit. So if you're here and you're struggling with purpose, you're struggling, what am I supposed to be doing? I think I want to get involved, but I don't. Hey, how many of you know not all spiritual emphases are created equal? So it's just possible that tonight in this little second touch altar call, God is going to raise your level of confidence to say, all right, I'm going to overcome doubt. And I do believe miracles come in a can, and God can keep his word, and God can heal me, and God can forgive me, and God can show me my future. I believe that because I believe in God. So, Father, in the next few moments, as we give you permission to minister and to touch and speak to your people, I pray that some great spiritual transactions would happen. Much like this blind man went from seeing things fuzzy to seeing it clear, so too I pray that tonight some of our perspectives will be changed. A bitter spirit will be eliminated and a joyful spirit will be restored. I pray, Lord, for physical conditions. I pray for people of great, great faith who've just been suffering, or even yet this year are fearful of 2015 for what is in front of them, for them to come and believe that nothing is too hard for you. And that you're a God that heals. And God, I also pray for those who are uncertain about what your deep purpose is for their life. That as they're prayed for, as they're just anointed, this is not a counseling session, this is going to be a prayer session. As we stand in your presence but are anointed and touched by spiritual leaders, I pray that the second touch tonight would bring a clarification. So again, Lord, if doubt has replaced hope, may the God of all hope fill our friends' hearts. If pride has kept us from asking you, may we understand, according to Exodus 23, you take away all of our disease and sickness. And if we've just sort of disengaged and been setting, and yet we feel this prompting to get involved, remind us in this purpose check that there are good deeds that you've prepared in advance for us to do. So in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, accomplish your purpose in Jesus' name. All of us, and elders, would you, unless you want to be prayed for, elders, would you come and just sort of evenly distribute? So first of all, I'd ask the staff that I call, and sorry, I just know the staff and love the staff and their friends. I'm going to ask you to come, and so again, remind me, it's perspective alignment, it's physical healing, it's purpose check. Over here. And then, why don't we all stand together? And the team is just going to lead us. There's no manipulation here. So, it's possible you just might want to sit and worship the Lord. It's possible you want to kneel. It's possible you might want to just say, hey, Lord, refill me with the Holy Spirit, or baptize me in the Holy Spirit for the first time. I just want us to soak in the presence. But, if if this message is applicable for some of you, please don't let pride, please don't let doubt, please don't let procrastination keep you from maybe getting a second touch that allows you to see things more clearly. So here's what we're going to do on the very first words of the song. It's not a real counseling session. Our leaders and my mom are equipped with anointing oil. And we're going to do what the Bible says. We're going to anoint you with oil. We're going to pray the prayer of faith. And on the basis of Mark chapter 8, we're going to believe that maybe this second touch thing will really work in your life. And let's see what God wants to do in the next few minutes. You come as our team leads us.
Lord, I come.
Hallelujah.
I confess, bowing here.
Hallelujah. I promise we'll get to everybody, okay? We will get to it. And elders, help us. All the ministry elders. I want everybody that comes forward that wants to be anointed. My heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Lord, I need
you. Oh, God is in this house tonight. Hallelujah. God wants to heal. God wants to clarify his purposes. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, even before someone prays for you, just worship him. Just worship the Lord. bless the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Your grace is more. Yes, it is.
The fountain, yes! And it's filled with grace.
glad in the Lord. I'm just glad in the Lord. You don't have a quiver in your liver, you got liver issues. You just sense. I want to conclude my part with a scripture that I believe can thread all the way back to the word of the Lord that the young lady shared in the worship team. And it comes from Psalm chapter 32, verse 8. The psalmist says, "The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. Don't be like the senseless horse or mule that needs a bit and a bridle to keep it under control. Because many sorrows come to the wicked, but the unfailing love of my God surrounds those who trust in you." Aren't you thankful that we have this unfailing love of God that surrounds us tonight? And that unfailing love will watch over us, will guide us, will keep us along the best pathway of life. Hallelujah. 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 If you're comfortable, and only if you're comfortable, would you just lift your hands and say, "Thanks, God, for guiding me. Thanks, God, for watching over me. Thanks, God, for surrounding me with your unfailing love. And so I yield to your plan, I yield to your purposes, and I yield to your second touch. I will never let spiritual pride, I will never let procrastination, I'll never let people's perception of what I need prayed for to keep me from allowing you to have a second touch in my life. So thanks, God. Thank you that you really do guide us along the best pathway for our lives and watch over us, and yet your loving eye is always on us. And now, Father, I just pray a blessing on your people. I pray, oh God, that we'd hear testimonies of you just touching people. I pray, Lord, that we hear testimonies of people whose faith has elevated to a point where confidence is greater than discouragement, where hope is greater than doubt, because that's what your word does. That's what serving you is all about. And I pray, Lord, for those that need to take that step of faith and engage themselves in some sort of involvement in this church, that this weekend just sealed the deal. This moment with you will give them the courage to take the initiative and say, "Leadership, I'm all in. Where is it that I can be used?" Now, Lord, make your face just sweetly shine upon your people. Thanks for a great week. Thanks for giving us the opportunity to work, the physical ability. Thank you for giving us this weekend. And I pray that throughout this weekend, our faith would be strengthened and our doubt would just diminish. May you receive all glory and all praise. Love on your people. Bless your people in Jesus' name.